a presentation of...
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are grateful that you have taken the time to tune in to the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by the saints at Merritt Assembly of God, and we are so thankful for each and every one of them. I just want to start off today by reminding you that Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. And every day should be a day of prayer, but this is a day where we come together. There will be people gathering at various functions, breakfast, prayer breakfast, prayer at City Hall, Merritt Island. We don't have a City Hall, so we will be meeting countywide Thursday night at First Baptist Church of Merritt Island, and we want to thank them for making their facilities available. And so we want to encourage you to come and be a part of that at 7 p.m. Now, understand, I love the National Day of Prayer, but I will not be able to be there at that event. It'll be the first time in a number of years that I haven't been able to be there. My wife's birthday is the next day, and I have promised her that I am taking her away for her birthday, and so we will not be there, but we will be with you in spirit. So just encourage you to come and be a part of that, and let's ask God to touch our nation once again. So today we are going to return to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, we're going to look at verse number 13 is where we're going to begin today. I want to remind you about our vintage service tomorrow at 11 and our kids ministry that begins at dinner begins at 6 and the service begins at 6:30. A couple of Wednesdays ago, just a phenomenal turnout of kids. And it's been one of our largest and growing ministries for the past couple of years. And so we're very thankful for that. If you've got boys, we have boys and we have girls. They start off together in a worship format, and then we take up an offering to support missions. We believe in training our kids for missions at very early. We want them to have a biblical worldview where it is not about them, not about me and my selfish toys, but it is about reaching and touching this world with the love of Jesus Christ. So we are looking to restore value spiritually and racial and relationally, locally, nationally, and internationally. So that's what we do. We are a great believer in missions. It is the heartbeat of our church. And so we want to help instill that mindset into kids as early as we can. And then, you know, our as far as missions, our other exciting thing is we have a record number of people that we're helping to send on missions trips this summer. And that's very exciting. Probably hurt the attendance numbers a little bit, but it will be great for them personally, and it'll be great for our church spiritually. So that's what's coming up. If you're in Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 13, I want to read a few verses, not going to read that many because it'll take us a while to get through the one that I want to highlight today. In verse number 13, it says, well, let's go back to verse number 12. The harp and strings, the tambourine and flute and wine are in their feasts, but they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, Sheol has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he who is jubilant shall descend into it. And people shall be brought down, each man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God who is holy shall be hallowed in righteousness. So that's where I'm going to begin reading today. Verse 13 begins with the word therefore, and so we have to go up to the previous verses 11 and 12 that describes the consequence that is getting ready to be disclosed in verse 13. The situation that sets up the consequence is there are people who, there's a society that thinks nothing they don't think about anything except how they are going to get their next intoxication going on. There's parties, there are feasts, but it says this, and this is the part I want to focus on. They do not regard the work of the Lord nor consider the operation of his hands. Now, we talked about that on yesterday's program. They do not regard the work of the Lord nor consider the operation of his hands. And that's really where we are in our society, is so much focus on what we can do without really giving any regards to what God can do, what he's aware of in our life, and what the consequence may be to not regarding the work of the Lord. I want to encourage you to make the Lord your highest priority. Matthew 6:33 says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, everything else, will be added unto you. See, there's a couple of ways that we can go about getting things. We can either steal it. That's not a good way. That will end up with you losing a great deal of things. You can work to try and attain it, or you can allow God to add it into your life or bring it into your life. And sometimes he will do that through overtime. Sometimes he will allow you to do that through just supernatural blessing. I was in a meeting here not too long ago, and a person said that that God had laid a figure upon their heart for either missions or a building program, and there was no way naturally that that could be pulled off, but one of the stocks that they had purchased just went ballistic. It just skyrocketed, and so they were able to cash that in. And they were able to meet their pledge. It wasn't anything that they could control, because they told, you know, what kind of figure they invested in. It wasn't a figure so large that it was going to move the stock price much that day, I assure you. But it was something that was unexpected, and as a result of that, God did great things. I want to encourage you today. Maybe it will be a word of refreshing that God works in your life. He works on your behalf. He works for you to be holy. He works for you to be blessed in every area. God is actively involved in your life right now. Do not allow God to be sidelined as a silent partner, but let him be actively involved in your life. But because this society did not regard the work of the Lord nor consider the operation of his hands, it said, therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. What Isaiah says here is that if we don't pay any attention to God, if we are unconcerned about his work, if we do not pay attention to the fact that he's really wanting to be hands-on in our life, that we are going to end up in captivity. Captivity is a loss of freedom. See, you can lose your captivity because of the fact that you're incarcerated. Sometimes you can lose your freedom because of fear. When we first came to Merit Assembly of God, there were coverings on several of the windows, expanded steel. And I looked at that and I figured that it was up there for safety reasons. It wasn't on all of the windows. It was just on some of the windows. And so I looked at that and I said, that looks like captivity to me. That looks like it's going to imprison the person on the inside as much as it is on the outside, as keeping people from the outside in. So we have other safety measures that have been that have taken place at Merit Assembly of God. I want to encourage you that if you come to visit, smile, because we have safety measures in place. And the reason that we went that route was because there was a person, there was a person that decided that they wanted to come into our structure several years ago, and they did some damage. They didn't take anything of value, just did a lot of damage. And so we called the police and they said, have you ever considered just leaving the doors open instead of having people? And it's like, well, no, that doesn't sound like a plan. And then about 6 months later, they called and they said, did you ever find the person involved who broke into your building? And I said, you know, I'm sorry. I thought that was your job. And they said, well, unless you have a picture of them, we can't really do much to catch them. And so we've taken those steps to make sure that everybody on our campus is kept safe, and that if there's any attack that goes on, then we have the ability to capture who might be in the wrong in that situation. So, but we didn't want to be prisoners. We didn't want to be captive, and God doesn't want you to be captives. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So, but God says, because they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of my hand, therefore my people have gone into captivity. Here is the cause: because they have no knowledge. Because they have no knowledge. Now, blasphemy is speaking evil of things, and one of the things that people speak evil of is things that they do not have knowledge of. They may think that they have knowledge. They may perceive things, but they need to have knowledge of the situation. And so that's what, if we do not have knowledge, and I will put this, first of all, I want you to know this is talking about spiritual knowledge. It's very clear in verse number 12, we're talking about no knowledge of God, no knowledge of God's work, nor no knowledge of how God operates, that will result in spiritual captivity. But a lack of knowledge will also imprison you and keep you kept captive. It will keep you suppressed in any area of your life. God does not want you and I to be ignorant. And so I believe that he wants us to excel in all things. So you need to surround yourself with people who have knowledge that you do not have. Surround yourself with people who are smarter than you are, who are more gifted than you are, and get out of their way. Let them do their job. But this is specifically talking about knowledge about God, knowledge about his word. So let me take you over to the book of Hosea. We're going to talk about a few things that result in captivity. Hosea chapter 4. I just turned the page. Verse number 6. And it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you for being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. So let me just go on reading a little bit more. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity, and it shall be like people, like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. They shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. So let's go back to this this destruction. It talks about captivity, and it says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Where Isaiah 5:13 says, My people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Hosea goes on and says it will actually result in your destruction. Now, there can be two different causes for a lack of knowledge. One, it can be their lack of knowledge simply because they do not have access to the information. And I want you to know that in modern times, you have so much more access to information than people ever have. There is no reason for us to remain uneducated. Do you realize that one of the most intellectual colleges or universities in the country makes many of their courses available free online? Massachusetts Institute of Technology. I mean, when you think of engineering technology, MIT is one of the first ones that comes to mind. And they made many of their classes available for free online. And they said, you know, people were afraid that it was going to cause the attendance to go down, the enrollment to go down. It actually caused it to go up. And they said there is access to the information, there's access to the knowledge, but people come to the school for the interaction and the learning process and the training and the hands-on that you get there. But for information and for knowledge, it is as simple as a few clicks away on your phone or on your computer. And so there can be a lack of information that simply because you don't have access to it. Now that excuse is pretty much done away with. But it also can be because of what they talked about here in verse number 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they had rejected the knowledge. If there is knowledge that's available and you reject it, that's not anybody else's fault but yours. If I reject knowledge, it's not anybody's fault but mine. And when we're talking about the fact that it is the knowledge of God, and if we have rejected the knowledge of God, then we are in trouble. Romans chapter 1 says that there was judgment because people did not choose to retain the knowledge of God. They made a deliberate, willful choice not to keep that knowledge in front of them. So those are very dangerous. So you can look at this lack of knowledge and say, okay, it's going to result in captivity. It will also result in my destruction. Neither of those are good options. The solution is to keep that knowledge in front of you. Let's turn over to 2 Kings chapter 17. I'm not going to read not 2 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 7. Where'd it go? Hold on here. 2 Kings chapter 17. I was on the wrong page. It is 2 Kings chapter 17. If you begin reading from verse 5 through verse 18, you are going to find reasons that are given that the children of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, were sent into captivity. So I'm just going to touch on these a little bit as we go down. You can read them. They're pretty much in chronological order of their mention throughout the passage. Some of them are repeated over and over again. One of them is that they feared other gods. They feared other gods. They were afraid of offending this God, so they chose to reject the one true God so that they could worship these other gods. That will get you in trouble. You know, anytime you displace God, anytime you remove him from the throne, that is not going to go well with you. And there's a lot of faulty information. One of the later ones, let me just touch on this. One of them was they obeyed heathen laws instead of God's law. You know, I was just reading the book of Acts before I came in this morning, and the disciples were chastised by the religious leadership for, they said, didn't we tell you not to preach in this name? And their response was this: whether it is right to obey God more than you or you more than God, that's for you to decide. But as for us, we are going to obey God. I want to obey God's law. If and I have a teaching on what does rebellion look like. Rebellion is whenever a person gets out from underneath God's law. And my rebellion doesn't necessarily mean, it doesn't mean that I'm not in rebellion if I'm obedient to the authority over me, if the authority over me is mandating something that is against the law of God, then we are both in rebellion to God's law. Rebellion is not me against man. Rebellion is, am I in perfect alignment with the will of God or not? So I encourage, the next one is idolatry. Fear to other gods, and then the next one that is listed is idolatry. And they created these images, they bowed down, they worshiped them, and it is something that is not good. It's actually, the Bible describes it as foolish. Though in the NIV at one point in time, I don't know if it still says that this, it says those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Those that cling to worthless idols forfeit God's grace in their life. Don't make that mistake. This is what caused the children of Israel to go into captivity. They did wickedness. Wickedness was not just a philosophy. It was a lifestyle. It was a practice. It was what got the nations that dwelt in the promised land before Israel came out of Egypt. It's what got them kicked out of the land. It was what led to their destruction and their devastation. Wickedness kills you. It does not bring more pleasure. It does not bring more enjoyment. It kills you. They did wickedness. The next one was they refused to listen. They refused to listen. So let me say that again. They refused to listen. I'm sure all of us as kids were like the person that stuck their fingers in their ear whenever somebody was saying something that they didn't want to hear, and they go la 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 la, just so that they could not hear the words that were coming in. Folks, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If we refuse to listen to God, we are starving ourselves to death. If we refuse to listen to God, we are starving ourselves to death. And even more so, it affects our children and our grandchildren and their kids. It is a perpetuating thing. Let's not fail to hear what God has to say. This is one I've got asterisked. They caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. They were offering child sacrifice. There were a lot of unwanted kids whenever idolatry began to take place, because worship of these other gods, one of the things that was encouraged was there were shrine prostitutes. And so when they would come, people would consider that an act of worship. And then all of a sudden they've got these unwanted kids. And so what are you going to do with unwanted kids? Because now you've indulged in this and this thing that was supposed to be holy. And now you've got this kid and it's inconvenient. It's going to cramp my style. I'm not ready for this. There's going to be some financial hardship. All of the excuses that we make to endorse abortion in our modern society, that was the same excuses that they were giving. And the way that they solved the problems was they just killed the kids. Now, they waited until they came out of the womb. We do it in utero. There's no distinction there in the Word of God. Listen, you and I need to realize that children are a gift from God. And if we messed up, if we sinned, that child shouldn't have to pay the price for your sin, or it shouldn't have to pay the price for my sin. Let's be adults, let's repent, and let's believe God to make something wonderful out of this life. Let's train them up in the way that they should go so that when they're old, they won't make the same mistakes that we made. A couple of more. They had witchcraft, and then two other things. They sold themselves to do evil. They sold themselves. You see, you cannot be redeemed by the Lord and having sold yourself to do evil. And those two things are incompatible. Don't sell your... You know what it makes you if you sell yourself? It makes you someone else's property. You literally sell yourself into slavery. And when you sold your, or when we, you sell yourself to do evil, you are selling yourself to be a slave to sin and to Satan. You don't want that. It goes on in the last thing it says, and they provoked God. They sold themselves to do evil in the sight of God to provoke him to anger. There's a few people in my life that I don't want mad at me. I don't want them angry with me. I don't want my wife angry with me. I don't want my parents angry with me. I'm supposed to honor them. But most of all, I don't want God angry with me. I don't want to provoke him to anger. I want him on my side, not fighting against me. You could turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse number 14. And there's a couple of things that it said about there. The Lord, in verse number 15, the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his word, scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. A lot of people today think that the church is irrelevant. I want you to know it is not. It is the bride of Christ. And I don't want to go around beating up the bride of Christ, because then I know how I would respond if somebody was beating up my wife. They would find a serious struggle on their hands. And how much more do you think that Christ will come to the defense of his bride? So let's make sure that we value the message. And in fact, there was one place that I read, it said that they gladly received the message. They gladly received the message. Let's not just receive the message. Let's not receive the word that God has for us, but let us do it with joy and gladness, because then we won't end up in captivity. We will end up with freedom. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.